present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to Panelgate. At the piano is Colin Stell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the show that attracts laughter like bees round a magnet. We've travelled today to the delightful town of Richmond, so it's only fitting that I should bid a champion, a oop, and an e-bar groom on Wilson Mall Bar to all our listeners in Yorkshire who can't be with us here in Surrey. It was Henry Tudor, Earl of Richmond, who gave the place its name and chose it as the location for the first great royal palace on a site now famous as the place where Henry VIII had his magnificent Hampton Court. Visitors also delight in Richmond's quaint Old Deer Park, and I notice a small group of quaint old deer has wandered in tonight, and they are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. On my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. And please welcome tonight our stand-in scorer, a man who's got more spare beefcake than Douglas Hogg, the delightful Sven. We'll start off with a round called translations. It's come to my attention, teams, that many unintelligible foreign words have managed to find their way into our English language, often impeding clear communication. Our scorer Sven, himself a foreigner, is the first to admit that it can often be highly irritating to the more sensitive ear when alien tongues are allowed to slip in. So, teams, I'd like you to provide translations into plain English, please, of the following foreign words and phrases. Graham, we'll start with you. Will you please translate Belle Epoque?
That's a cheap cut of pig meat, isn't it? Give me a pound of Belle Epoque.
Barry, yours is apparatchik.
That's a cross between a parrot and a chick. It does impressions of Colonel Sanders. Start easy, slow.
Willie, here's yours. Sushi.
This is Eddie Cantor's best-known song after the drink got him. If you knew sushi like I know sushi.
And Tim, here's another one for you. Sic transit Gloria Mundi.
Gloria was sick in the van, but she'll be in on Monday. Thank you.
Right, we'll open this one up. Here's one for that any of you can answer. Film noir.
My camera's bust.
How about this? Cinquecento.
100-year-old Chinaman.
Magnum opus.
Oh, now he is the Irish cat private eye. Magnum opus.
And how about Et tu, Brute?
Blimey, you've splashed it all over my head. Gov.
Teams, I'm pleased to point, and audience too, I'm pleased to point out to interested listeners, so I hope both of them are paying attention, that after the sad demise of Sven's popular touring troupe, the Chippendales, they've now reformed to appeal to an older, more sedentary audience. I understand they're now accepting work as a male voice choir called the Queen's Singers, And Sven appears to have brought them with him here tonight, so I've suggested they might like to assist him with the score. So, when you're ready, lads.
2016.
Thank you. It's now time for a long-established round called One Song to the Tune of Another, in which the team sing one song to the tune of another. We've certainly had some sticky moments with this round over the years. Last week, Barry sang an Andrew Lloyd Webber song to the tune of Puccini, and nobody could tell the difference. Anyway, I'm assured that piano accompaniment is required for this round, and it appears that Colin Sell is unexpectedly available to provide it. You know, whenever musicians hear that Colin's working with us, they're always very keen for news of the old maestro. Well, sadly, it's failed its MOT again. So he's had to come on his bike. Graham, I'd like you to start by singing the words of There Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens to the tune of Release Me.
There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop the fuss. There ain't nobody here but us.
Take me in.
We chickens trying to flee, and you bust in and hobble, 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 hobble with the chickens. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all.
Your turn, Tim, and I'd like you please to sing the words of Any Old Arm to the tune of Rule Britannia. Willie, you're going to sing the words of I Shot the Sheriff to the tune of My Favorite Things.
With luck.
I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy. Or out in my hometown, they're trying to track me down. They say they want to bring me in guilty for the killing of the deputy, for the life of the dead. But I say, I shot the sheriff, but I say it was in self-defense. I shot the sheriff, and they say it is a capital offense. Sheriff John Brown always hated me for what I don't know. Every time that I plant a seed, he said, kill it before it grows. He said, kill it before it grows. I say, shot the sheriff. I say, self-defense.
And finally, Barry. Barry, would you please sing the words of How Much Is That Doggy in the Window to the tune of Swanee?
How much is that doggy in the window, the one with the waggly? How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale. I must take a trip to California and leave my poor sweetheart alone. If he has a doggy, won't be lonesome, and the doggy will have a good day, mammy.
Jolly good. Now, the next round is entitled Straight Face. In it, the team should take it in turns to exchange a random selection of words without getting any laughs from our theatre audience. This, I'm assured, is a very specialised skill which our panellists have each managed to hone throughout their long and varied careers in the entertainment business. So to complicate it a little, I'd like all the words you select, teams, to begin with the letter S. Anyone who elicits so much as the smallest titter from our audience will face immediate disqualification. The object of the game is to eliminate all four of them so we can get on with the next round. Graham, will you start, please?
Stomach.
Saucer.
Silent.
What?
Silent.
Oh. Diction. Doesn't begin with an S.
No.
Sherbet. Yes, is silent. Sherbet, I think he said.
Sorry?
Sherbet?
No, that was my word.
Sorry.
Oh.
Slap.
Salivate.
Sugar.
Then.
Can you have proper words, Hump?
What?
No.
Never mind. Sarcophagus.
Surreptitiously.
Swedishly.
Ah!
The old master got a titter.
I heard a laugh, yes. You're out.
Thank you.
Willie.
No,
now, the rest of you go on in sequence, so it would be Graham, you to carry on.
Stew.
Spotted.
Silage.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Barry.
Oh.
That's not the first laugh he's got with silage.
Okay, it's between you.
Is it me, Stock?
It's a header. Slimy. It's a head-to-header between Barry, between Tim and Graham. And Tim, you're going to start.
Sandwich.
Soap.
Slot.
Please, come on. Even my mother wouldn't laugh at that.
Your mother doesn't live in Richmond. Lots may not be funny in Buxton, but there.
Go on, Graham.
Smack, smack. That's a good one.
Smack.
Yes. Yeah.
Suffering.
Saucy.
Slip.
That wasn't a laugh.
Somebody blowing his nose.
We sincerely hope. Snot.
And with that knockout blow, Graham wins the round. Now we come to a round called radioke, which is basically a radio version of karaoke, except that at no point does anyone have to lie in a hospital bed worrying that the TV script they've just written is becoming a nightmarish reality. What happens is this. I brought with me some bootleg radio highlights, which I've illicitly recorded off my wireless at home, and I shall play them in for the teams to speak along with. After a while, the tape will fade away to nothing, but the team should carry on speaking, and the object is for them to be in sync when the sound returns. So, Tim and Willie, we'll start with you, and will you please speak along with John Humphreys and Douglas Hogg in this extract from the Today program.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Good morning,
to you.
Good morning.
It's been difficult, and
some things have happened less fast than we would have wished.
But I don't accept it as a mess.
Well, we are slaughtering thousands of perfectly healthy cows. We don't know how many. Farmers are losing a fortune. It's costing the taxpayer billions. We're at war with Europe.
And it's only been a bit difficult.
This is an extremely difficult situation, which has caused a great deal of loss to a lot of people.
I entirely agree with you.
Oh, no, I mean, more than that. I mean, it's been a very badly mishandled situation.
There, I don't agree with you. I think it would have been difficult to handle it fundamentally different from that which we have done. Whether in the last 3 months or so there are things we could have done differently, I'm sure the answer is yes.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Well, we're not going to play that game either.
Well, you could volunteer it.
No. I'm merely making this point that over a 3 month conduct of policy, you will find things that one could have done differently.
But we've done it wrongly right from the very beginning, haven't we? I mean, we stood there, we had a Secretary of State standing up in the House of Commons saying that there is this problem and clearly no one has given a moment's thought on repercussions of it or how it might be handled.
That isn't true.
The news did have a very serious effect on confidence in the United Kingdom and in Europe. Our problem was this.
Do you think there's a problem with your own position?
Now, a look at the weather.
What happened then? Did you win?
I think Douglas Hall entered my body and took over. In some strange way, we were as one.
It's your turn now, Barry and Graham, and I'd like you please to speak along with Simon Pemberton and Shula Archer. In this extract from The Archers.
Simon, for heaven's sake.
You've got
to let me talk to you.
Come in,
why don't you?
Not fair. No,
not
fair.
Let me say my piece. My piece. Let it say quietly. I'm sorry. You wouldn't believe the day I've had. Like a conspiracy, I tried phoning all evening, but you weren't in.
And I've just been practically ejected.
I've just been practically ejected from the ball. Simon, this is an attempt to make me feel sorry for you. I'm not in the mood. Simon, we're out of sync.
Look, this Harriet thing.
You have to believe me, Shula. It was an affair, but I finished it.
I have nothing to say, Simon.
What, but why? Look, I've said I'm sorry. I've told her to stay out of my life. I don't see what more I can do.
That's not the point.
Well, what is then?
The point is I can't trust you.
Of course you can trust me. You have to understand. This thing was out of my control.
Oh, for goodness sake. You betrayed me with another woman. Look, now is not the time for this. I really think you'd better go.
I'm not leaving until we've had this out.
Oh!
I don't see it. I don't see it. As a betrayal.
We've all seen it. Oh, Simon! How can you not see it as a betrayal?
It's not even as if you and I were sleeping together, for goodness sake. Maybe if we had been, I wouldn't have gone and slept with Harriet.
How dare you! I want you out of my house and out of my life.
Why won't you listen?
Now!
No!
Oh!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just... Get out!
I'm sorry.
Right, on with the next round. It's recently come to my attention, teams, that many films and TV programs are riddled with commercial sponsorship, placing a question mark against the professional integrity of those prepared to compromise their art for the sake of personal gain. So in this round, which I'd like to call the Volvo 985R Master... I'd like you teams to enact some newly sponsored productions in a style that reflects their revised status. Tim and Willie, we'll start with you. Would you please provide a brief rendition of Gardener's Question Time, as sponsored by Yorkshire Water?
Good bloody evening. Welcome to Leeds and Gardener's Question Time. First question, please.
I'd like to ask the panel how I should deal with my interinums. They look a little sad. Should I water them?
No.
Days, the Welsh have their leek, the Scots their thistle, and the Irish, it's the same man again, have their shamrock. What would the panel recommend for Yorkshire Day?
A cactus. I thought you were a woman.
Well, no. What would you recommend for a perfect garden?
A mixture of sand and cement, mixing a good deal of... cheap white wine or Yorkshire bitter.
Oh, I bathe in that. Oh. Then the final analysis... What would you suggest I do?
Vote Labour or emigrate.
Good night.
Bugger off.
All right.
Right, it's your turn, Barry and Graham. Would you please provide an excerpt from The 101 Dalmatians, as sponsored by the Korean government?
One down.
And finally... how I love those words. Jimmy Willie, would you please provide an extract from Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest, as sponsored by McDonald's.
Welcome to The Importance of Being Ronald.
A hamburger.
Our next round is based on the TV program called Through the Keyhole, presented by Lloyd Grossman, in which the viewer is introduced to the homes of various celebrities and then has to work out who they are. In fact, it's quite similar in format to Hello magazine. But slightly less challenging, of course. In order to allow us to play this game on the radio, the Richmond Theatre stage crew have specially created two mystery cubicles backstage for our teams to enter. They are each designed to resemble precisely the homes of certain well-known personalities. And the team should take it in turn to describe the contents of their cubicle for the other team to guess. Right, Barry and Graham, you're to go first. And I'd like you to enter your mystery cubicle now. While you're on the way, the famous householder's name will now be flashed up in Technicolor magic on the multi-screen laser projection tower so generously provided by our hosts. John brings on board. Oh, sorry. I wasn't meant to read that bit. Here's the, for the you at home, here's the mystery voice.
Alan Clark. Alan Clark.
Okay, now, Barry and Graham, you're going to describe now, and Willie and Tim, you're going to guess.
Well, it's a lovely room.
Beautiful.
It's very grand.
Yes. Haven't seen a microwave with a drawbridge before.
Oh, look there, the shelf full of diaries. Under lock and key.
Oh, so I see.
Wait, there's one out here on the desk. Let's see what... Ow! Too hot to handle.
Too hot, that. Oh, nice picture here. Look, nice family group.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's been signed.
Yeah, what's it say?
You bastard.
Now, that's something you don't see every day. A Michael Heseltine dartboard.
Good Lord, what's this? A hit of 12. Good. Well, I think we've certainly painted a picture there, Graham.
We have.
Tim and Willie, are you going to do any guessing?
Nope. I don't think so.
Right.
I lost interest halfway through, tell the truth. I suddenly realised what it must be like to be a listener to this programme.
Drawbridge. This is a grand person, is it? Or is it a political person?
A political person.
Or an ex-political person?
Yes.
I think it's that bloody woman.
I think it is. Yes. The mad cow, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep. No, it's not. Ah, you were trying to mislead us. Packet of 12.
It's her husband.
Yep.
The packet of 12, was it?
Too hot to handle. Heseltine was on the dartboard. What was he doing there? He was up to somebody that doesn't like
him. You know Alan Clark, by any chance?
No.
He goes into the chemist, it's a gross for the weekend.
Okay, your turn, Tim and Willie.
All right.
Would you go and enter your mystery cubicle now, please? And here again is the laser projection tower with the answer and the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Major James Hewitt. Major James Hewitt.
Well, right. The problem is you know where to start, do you? And you can't see anybody. Here we are. We're in the hall now. Good Lord, a stuffed horse's umbrella stand. That's an interesting place to house an umbrella.
Chair, sofa. Photos of people playing polo. Photos of horses playing polo. Polo-necked horses. Oh, and a dog. I think he must be lost.
And wall-to-wall horse brasses. Just go upstairs.
To the bedroom.
Yes.
Horse blankets. And in the bed, a horse's head.
Not just the head, sorry.
That's all right. Clothes for horse.
The wooden horse.
Bath in the shape of a horse.
Oh, look, there's a photograph of Princess Di. Horses, 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 horses. Well, David, what
Barry and Graham, start guessing.
Were horses a clue?
No. One's allowed to lie once, I believe, in this game.
There's so, one dog in there.
The dog is one dog. The dog is a red herring. Oh, red setter, probably more accurate.
There's a royal connection here,
yeah.
I would think.
And the audience all went ooh when they saw the name on the scoreboard.
Is he a bit of a scally? Bit of a lad. Ooh. James Hewitt.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to invite the male voice choir to provide another update of the score.
Since the Lord God has freed me, called his city near.
Well, that's very nearly all for this week, but there's just time, I think, for a quick round of Fashion Designers Film Club. So while Sven nips out to press his favourite Paul Smith, I'd like you teams to suggest some titles of films likely to prove popular with the fashion trade. Tim, how about you starting?
Bus stop. They get worse, so just laugh at that one.
Armani in Havana.
How about Dad's Armani?
Armani for all seasons.
Or another TV spin-off, Yes Miniskirt. Ben Kingsley as Gucci.
Picnic at Hanging Frock.
The Fly.
For whom the bell bottoms.
Night dress on Elm Street. Bring me the measurements of Alfredo Garcia.
Champion, the Wonder Bra.
That's it. I'd like to see that.
Sleeveless in Seattle.
Well, as the wheelie bin of time is hoisted aloft by the dustman of fate, and the broken eggshells of despair are scattered down the front path of destiny, it must be time to regret not tipping in better. And also the end of the show. So from Zen, the teams and myself, goodbye.
Brooke Taylor, Barry Trier, Graham Gardner and Willie Rushton have been given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.
And Humph and the teams will be back at the same time next week. But if you can't wait that long, you may be interested to know that some of the funniest moments from the recent history of the programme have been specially preserved for posterity on two audio cassettes as part of the BBC radio collection. And they're available.